If you have prayer requests or praise reports, please email us at meritassembly@hotmail.com. We would love to stand in faith with you. Now, here with today's Refresh broadcast is Pastor Bob Arthurs.
And good day to you, Brevard County. Welcome to the Refresh radio program right here on WMIE 91.5 FM. Today's Modern Worship. My name's Bob Arthurs, and this program is brought to you by the Ministry of Merit Assembly of God, 165 North Grove Street, Merritt Island, Florida, 32953, and we would love to invite you out to our services. Come and be a part of what God is doing. We are believing that God is going to do some great things. I mean, he's already done a lot of great things. You know, I think sometimes we get a little short-sighted with our attitude towards God. And I remember saying this years ago, you know, if God never does one more good thing for me in my life, and I know he will, but if he never did, he will still have been better to me than I deserved. Does that mean that every day is strawberries and cream? No, there are some days that have some challenges in them, and then there are some days that have lots of challenges with them. But God is on the throne. He's been good to me. He saved me, forgave me, redeemed me, filled me, and used me for his glory, and is preparing a place for me to spend eternity with him. I've got a great future. And I know this, I don't have to wait till eternity to begin walking in that, and so I haven't. And just am very, very thankful to God for all he has done. Today, I want to say thank you to the folks of Weirich Air, W-E-I-R-I-C-H. They are based here in Rockledge, Florida. Their phone number is 321-632-9538, 321-632-9538. For over 40 years, they've been providing professional sales, services, and repairs, and focusing in these three fields. Air conditioning, we need that a lot. Heating, you need that occasionally. And electrical, you need that all the time and most of the time to make those other two work. They do primarily residential work, but they do some light commercial settings as well. And for their customers, they even provide emergency service when necessary. And that means if your air conditioner goes out, that's an emergency. So you do have to understand supply chain issues and things like that. So if you give them a call, please be gracious. I can't tell you how many people that I talk to. And when I'm encountering a person either at a shopping establishment or just a the bank or something like that, I ask them this question: is everybody being nice to you, or do we need to lay hands on somebody? And you would be amazed at the number of times that people say that, especially in 2022, 2021, 2020, that people are not being kind and understanding. And so I just encourage you, extend the same amount of grace that you would like to see shown you at your job, or if there's a problem that doesn't, that is beyond your control and you are just the point person having to deal with that problem, show a little grace, show a little patience with him. Weirich Air has been striving to provide the best service possible at an affordable price. Like I said, for over 40 years, working on 50 years. So before you find yourself in need of their services, write this number down in a place that you can find it, 321-632-9538. Tell them you heard about them on the Refresh radio program. Have you ever written something down so that you wouldn't forget it, or put something away in a place where you knew it would be safe and secure, and then you couldn't remember where it was that you put that or placed it, and you want to make sure that you have their number written down? I can't tell you the number of times I look on the Merritt Island Facebook page. There's a couple of them, and people are asking, you know, who should I call for this and who should I call for this? And there's a lot of snark that goes on there on those pages. There are some people who feel like, you know, they are gifted to humanity just to be obnoxious and try and belittle people. I try not to do that. In fact, anytime I'm tempted to do that, God causes me to hit the delete button. So, anyway, if you have their number written down there, it'll save you having to put a post and expose yourself to people that say, you know, somebody just asked that question the day before yesterday. So anyway, 321-632-9538. We're going to the book of Acts today, Acts chapter 10. We have been talking about the preparation that God was doing in Cornelius' life and in Peter's life. We started off with God's perception of Cornelius, God's preparation for spiritual revelation and blessing and kingdom growth. Then we moved on to Cornelius' participation, or what part, what action was needed on his part. What did he need to delegate? What did he need to do himself? Then we did God's preparation of Peter. And so that brings us down to verse number 19 of Acts chapter 10. Or I'm sorry, verse number 17 of chapter 10. And it says, "Now while Peter wondered within himself what this vision which he had seen meant, behold, the men who had been sent from Cornelius had made inquiry for Simon's house and stood before the gate, and they called and asked whether Simon, whose surname was Peter, was lodging there. While Peter thought about the vision, the Spirit said to him, 'Behold, three men are seeking you. Arise, go down, and go with them, doubting nothing, for I have sent them.' Then Peter went down to the men who had been sent to him from Cornelius and said, 'Yes, I am he whom you seek. For what reason have you come?'" We're going to stop the reading there for just a moment. So the first thing that I want to point out here is in verse number 7, that Peter wondered within himself what this vision which he had seen meant. God is very intentional about the things that he does. There's meaning behind it. And so a lot of times you can use this principle, the principle of meaning, to help you discern what the will of God is. Well, if I do that, what is the purpose of that? I had a job one time. There was nothing wrong with the job except for I was 15 and a half at the time, which was the minimum age that you could be to work in the state I grew up in. I don't know if it's still that case or not. I know my parents didn't wait till I reached that age, and I had already had a paper out before that and things of that nature. But when I reached 15 and a half, it was not a booming economy like we have had here in the past several years. I know that the economy nationwide is struggling right now, and the prices are going up. I know what that was like, but it was pretty hard to find a job. Well, I was in high school. A cousin of mine got a job at this particular establishment, and she talked to my parents and said, "Hey, he should come over and start working here." And I worked over there for a couple of weeks, and that meant that because I was in school, that I was working Saturday and Sunday, and I was washing dishes. I've actually had jobs as an adult washing dishes while trying to supplement our income to be able to pastor the church. Nothing wrong with a dishwashing job. It teaches you how to be very thorough. I discovered that this particular place that I did not enjoy washing the gravy container. They served a lot of breakfast, and gravy and oatmeal, trying to get that out of the pan was pretty gross, to be honest with you. But the thing about this job was I wasn't making much money, and I was missing out on something more valuable, which was being in the house of God, being around the people of God. And I can tell you that, you know, the $10 or $20 that I would have made per week there wasn't as much, wasn't worth as much to me as being in the house of God. And so one day God spoke to me and he said, look, you need to be hearing the word of God. It has greater meaning in your life than this particular job does. And so it helped me to discern that that was a distraction. That job was a distraction from my the meaning that God had for my life, the purpose that he had for me. And so I needed to let that go so I could pursue his purpose. There were other things that have happened, and I remember the event, and it's like, you know, I may have overreacted to that event. And then all of a sudden God spoke to me and said, no, you do not understand what a pivotal moment that was. And while you might not have given it much consideration, your decision that you made at that time kept you from being distracted and being tempted and not pursuing the purpose that I had for your life. And it's like, oh, well, thank you. Now, I will tell you that when you are trying to discover the meaning of what is going on, you have to begin to do what Peter did in verse number 17. Now, while Peter wondered within himself, okay? So he had just had this very unusual dream. I preached a message one time. Was that God or was it the pizza? And so it was a Sunday night message. And, you know, there's a lot of people that think that everything that goes on in their life is just something that, you know, is not, accidental or incidental. There's been some, you know, highly unusual dreams. You know, I remember hearing the story about the guy that dreamed that he ate a marshmallow, and when he got up the next morning, he couldn't find his pillow, but he found some feathers around his mouth. You know, that's a story. It's not a real occurrence there. But, you know, Peter just had this very unusual dream, and he was hungry before he had this vision. And afterwards, he had to figure out, what did that mean? And so he had to begin to process, because there was no actual sheet that had fallen down from heaven. It wasn't containing actual animals. There was a communication that was going on, and Peter is left there with no explanation. It's happened three times. What does it mean? Now, if you go down to verse number 19, you see this. While Peter thought about the vision, the Spirit spoke to him. So I am the type of person that I don't want to tell you what to think. I want us to develop the ability to actually think, to be able to process thought. If you ask me certain people's phone numbers anymore, I wouldn't be able to tell you what their phone number is, because it's programmed into my phone. I'd have to go looking for it, because I'm so accustomed to just telling the phone to call this person that, you know, that's what it does. I say, call them, and it calls them. I don't even have to remember the phone number. So if I ever get in a situation where I have to remember that, I may be in a little bit of trouble as far as recollection ability. The same thing is true with the Word of God. We have so much at our fingertips. But you and I, we need to remember how to think, how to process the Word of God. I had a person one time, and he told me, he said, well, I just want you to know that I hate my mother and father because, you know, Jesus said you're supposed to hate your father and mother. And I said, you need to go back and think about that, because that's not what that means. I mean, and when he said that he hated them, it was with an intensity. There was no love there at all. I said, you need to be able to process that in balance with the rest of the Word of God, with the context of the Word of God. And God's not going to command you to do something and then turn right around and say, no, I don't want you doing that. You need to do exactly the opposite. God's not a erratic God like that. He's very consistent. He never changes. And so you and I, we need to be able to process thought. One of the things that we are told to do is hide his word in our heart, that we might not sin against him. Because there may come a time where you do not have access to a Bible. There may be times when you don't have access to a Bible program on your phone or on the internet. You need to have the Word of God deeply planted in your life so much that it impacts the way that you live, so that you consistently live the way God wants you to, even if you're cut off from a steady input at that point in time. So, you know, if you happen to be stranded out in the wilderness someplace, you're not cut off from the presence of God. You may not have a Bible with you, but you can still behave in a godly manner. And so I want to encourage you to do this. Think about what God is saying. Think about what the meaning of your life is. Think about why we are doing the things that we are doing. So recently a person asked me about a certain aspect, and if I thought that I should continue doing that. And I said, well, I can tell you the story behind why I do what I do. And, you know, the Bible says that we are supposed to give an account for the things that we believe. We're supposed to be instant in season and out of season. We're supposed to be ready. And so I went on and explained the meaning. And I said this, look, I have no problems beginning ministry, and I have no problems ending a ministry. I've done both. You know, sometimes things are for a life, and sometimes things are for a season. And so you have to think. You've got to know, what is God doing in this particular moment? So now I can tell you this, that marriage, for me, that's a lifelong thing. If you knew some of the struggles that my wife and I have been through, because of our commitment to God and to the ministry, because of the financial implications of our commitment to the call into the ministry, because of some of the difficulties that have arisen in life, if you had known that, you would know that the only reason that we've survived for as long as we have is because we knew that God did not put us together for a season. He put us together for a life. Good times, bad times, good days, bad days. He put us together. So you have to be able to take every thought captive. Every one of them. If there's anything exalting itself against God, you need to have the mental discipline to say, you know what, that's an ungodly thought. I'm going to take that thought. I'm going to put handcuffs on it. I'm going to stuff a sock in its mouth. I'm going to lock it away. I'm going to cut it off and make it useless in my life. That thought does not have any liberty to float around in my life. It's going to be subjected to the authority of Christ and to the authority of his word. So I recently had a conversation with a person, and we were discussing a situation that I had come across, and the person said, yeah, that person's just not thinking clearly. They don't look the same. They're not processing thought the same. And so let me tell you this. You need to have people around you. One of the blessings for the church is whenever you're not processing thought correctly, whenever maybe you've given temptation a foothold, that you have people around you that say, hey, you know, we just had a men's conference here a couple of weeks ago. You need to have people around you that can say, hey, that's not right. That's not right. If all you can do is surround yourself with people who think like you, act like you, and will tell you that you're just the greatest thing since sliced bread, you need to broaden your friend approach so that you've got some people around you that will be like iron sharpens iron. We've called our men's ministry Iron Men for a long, long time now. I wanted to do a logo for our Iron Men's ministry that, you know, kind of had the Avengers Iron Man costume, only instead of it having a circle, or I think at one point in time they went to a triangle as far as the power source for that suit. I wanted to put a cross there. There may have been somebody that's done that that's more graphically inclined than I am, but that's what I wanted. But it's not just about power, but it is about making one another better men and keeping one another out of trouble. I'm sad to report I've got some friends that are no longer in fellowship. At one point in time they were very close, and you know, I still pray for them. In fact, some of those friends, I was presented with an opportunity to go to another church and consider to be the pastor of that church. And this friend I thought so much of, I said, you know, I don't sense that God is done with me here, and I wouldn't want to leave that person with a bad taste in their mouth from me going someplace else. It's in their best interest that I stay. And then bam, they made a decision that gave evidence to the fact that they did not value the friendship to the same extent that I did. So make sure that you live your life wondering, thinking, pondering what God means. How does he want that? What is the meaning of that? You know, what was the meaning of being up on the roof and having a vision and all of a sudden, you know, God speaking to you in a way that you don't fully understand? Do you just kind of throw up your hands and walk out the door and say, oh, well, I don't know what that means. I guess one of these days God will explain it to me if he wants to. No, take some time and ponder it. That's what the scripture says that Mary, the mother of Jesus, did when she was presented with a life-altering responsibility. You know, it was going to change her social status. It was going to change the way that people looked at her. But she said, I'm going to ponder those things. Whenever somebody said something about Jesus, when he was a baby, she continued to ponder those things in her heart. I know in Washington they have those things called think tanks, and, you know, basically what that means is they have one thought and it kind of ricochets around everybody in there, and they all came out regurgitating just the one thought in the same way and the same thing. But what if we, as individuals, what if we as churches said, what's God's meaning for our church to exist? So, you know, at one point in time, our mission statement was one thing. It was perfectly fine. Lots of other churches had the same mission statement. But here a few years ago, God said, look, I have blessed you to be a blessing. And I was like, that's really why we exist. And people said, well, that doesn't sound very challenging, because y'all pretty much do that already. And I said, well, isn't that really the point? Is you're supposed to not be telling people who you want to be. You recognize who you are, and you say, this is who we are. So Merit Assembly of God is blessed by God to be a blessing. I can tell you this, God's not done. God's not done with America. He's not done with you. He's got a meaning for your life. If you're listening and you don't know what that meaning is, I want you to set aside some time to go into your prayer closet or your study or your office or wherever it might be. Spend some time with God. Spend some time with His Word and say, God, what I really need you to do is I need you to help me to understand what you have to say, how you're wanting me to proceed. What was the meaning of that vision? And you speak to me, but I'm going to begin to process thought, because I don't want to miss it. I know this, God determines our times that we are alive, and He determines our boundaries. And so you'll see that in the book of Acts. He determines the times and the boundaries. You and I need to think about, what are we going to do to reach the people in our time and within our sphere of influence? What is God's meaning for our life, our church, in this day and time? God bless you. You have a great day. We'll see you tomorrow right
here. Thank you for tuning in today to Refresh with Pastor Bob Arthurs. Refresh is brought to you by the church family of Merit Assembly of God in Merritt Island, Florida. If you do not have a church home, we invite you to visit with us this Sunday. We have Sunday school at 9:30 a.m. and worship at 10:30 a.m. We are located at 165 North Grove Street on Merritt Island. You can discover more about the church through our website, merittassembly.com. Email us any prayer needs and testimonies to merittassembly@hotmail.com. We invite you to tune in Monday through Friday on WMIE 91.5 at 8:30 a.m. and 5 o'clock p.m. and WWBC 1510 at 10:30 a.m. Remember, Proverbs 11:25, he who refreshes others will himself be refreshed.